You would turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 9. I determined several years ago that on this date, which today is 9/11, that if it was a church service, I was going to speak on a subject that I believe is a very serious one. And the title of my message simply is 9/11. Jeremiah chapter 9. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. He is lamenting the condition of his nation. He says, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, every one his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is as an arrow shot out, it speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth his weight. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? For the mountains will I take up a weeping and wailing, and for the habitations of the wilderness a lamentation, because they are burned up, so that none can pass through them, neither can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the fowl of the heavens and the beast are fled, they are gone. And I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons, and I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And in this passage, God revealed to him the judgments that would come upon his nation for their rebellion, their immorality, and their idolatry. Jeremiah wept over the spiritual demise and physical destruction of his beloved country. And if you study the book of Jeremiah, you'll find that he is troubled about the condition that his countrymen and his country is in. There are several times, though, in the book where God tells this prophet who is burdened and who is being severely persecuted for the truth that he is telling. God tells him several times not to pray for his country. I've always thought that was odd. Turn over to Jeremiah 7 and verse 16. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Well, that's a terrible condition to be in. When you're so far gone, God tells the prophet not to pray, because I won't hear you. In Jeremiah chapter 8, we have really the summation of the reason why God had so judged and ordered the judgments upon Judah and Israel. Where they say in verse 9, God says, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them. When those who are considered to be the wise men, the people, the experts, those who know everything there is to know, when they reject the word of the Lord, God says, in reality, what wisdom is in them? It's one of the reasons I really don't have a lot of trust in what people say who are evolutionists, who deny God's creatorial rights and His sovereignty. I don't trust atheists to offer proper guidance because they've rejected the word of the Lord. Verse 10, because they have rejected the word of the Lord, therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one from the least unto the greatest is given to covetousness, from the prophet even unto the priest. Every one dealeth falsely. Even the religious leaders are frauds. For they have healed the hurt of the people of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Oh, it's okay. Do what you want. You know, we're living in a day much like Jeremiah's, where preachers are telling people, hey, do your own thing. Express your individuality. Do what's right for you. Make yourself happy. Raise your level of self-esteem. When the Bible says, repent and believe the gospel. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You are deficient in relation to God, and you need to trust Christ. He's the only one that can make you right. And if you die in your sins without a knowledge of Jesus Christ, you will die in your sins and spend an eternity in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone. Where are the preachers today who will thunder from the pulpits to repent and believe the gospel? That's what our nation needs. That's what your soul needs above everything else. But instead, a lot of preachers are saying, peace, peace. Everything's okay. Don't worry about it. You're okay. I'm okay. We're all okay. Heaven's like a big post office. Lots of different ways. You live your truth and you'll get there in the end. That's a lie. It's a hellish lie. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There is no other way. Verse 12, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall in the time of their visitation. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. In chapter 13 and verse 10, God says, this evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle which is good for nothing. He's telling them some strong truth about themselves. Chapter 14 and verse 11, God repeats again, then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. Well, thank God that He has not told us not to pray for our country, for our countrymen. In fact, Jesus gave us a command to pray without ceasing. Paul said men ought always to pray and not faint. So we ought to be burdened about the state of our nation, the condition that we are in. Now, when I announced the title of my message, probably everyone here knew exactly what I was talking about. I see a trend in our world. The trend is they're trying to change or rewrite history. They don't want people to know true history. Now, if you remember this phrase, 9/11, you probably began to immediately think of where you were and what you were doing on Tuesday, September 11th, 2001. It's a date that will live in infamy. On that day, Islamic terrorists attacked America. 2,606 people died in the Twin Towers that day. 265 died on the planes that were used. 125 died in the attack on the Pentagon, for a total of 2,996 people killed on that day. Another 6,000 people were injured, and certainly there were more even after that as they recovered them. 9/11 changed nearly everything. Immediately after the attacks, I can remember how Americans came together. There seemed to be a concern even for the things of God. Some people returned to church. They sought out spiritual things. And I know that there were people saved in response to what happened on 9/11. But that's all according to God's will. There was a somber tone in our nation. Life seemed more precious. And it appeared that people really did care for one another. Sad to say, the spiritual concern and the desire of people to want the best for our nation that had been renewed didn't last long. In fact, I really believe that history will reveal that 9/11 marked the beginning of an intense acceleration of departure from God. Wickedness, immorality in every aspect of American culture, politically, educationally, and religiously. And we've seen, we're eyewitnesses of the downward spiral that happens when God gives a people over to a reprobate mind. Romans chapter 1. 9/11 was a wake-up call that America did not heed. I believe that everything happens on purpose. Ephesians 1:11 says, God works all things after the counsel of His own will. Even things that we think are horrific are within the realm of God's providence. There are times that God channels the depravity and the sinfulness of man to accomplish His purpose. He did it in the crucifixion of the most wonderful person in all the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you think back, America had increasingly departed from the Bible, from God, from the law, from the gospel, from the importance of God in society, even among those who were lost. I fear that we had become ungodly, unjust, unholy, unrepentant. And as a nation, you think back history-wise, I think when you look at the downward spiral, back in the 30s, America rejected, our educational system rejected the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And a warfare started educationally against the teaching of creation as set forth in the Word of God that had been believed for years and taught that God is the Creator. We are accountable to Him. He is the one that is in sovereign control. All of that was completely dismissed, set aside for the teaching, the theory of evolution. Evolution's never been proved. There's no missing link that's going to show up that your mom and dad came from an amoeba that evolved ultimately into a monkey and then an ape and then bingo bango, here you are. Never going to happen. Because it's not possible. I don't know why in the world intelligent people believe fairy tales. Now the intelligent people say, I don't know how in the world people believe the Bible. The Bible's been pretty accurate, extremely accurate, and trustworthy. And it's served us well for millennia. But in the 30s, we rejected God as Creator. In the 60s, we threw God, His Word, His law out of the public forum, out of our education systems, out of the schools. In the 60s, we rebelled against God's Word for the quote-unquote sexual revolution. Complete disregard for the Bible teaching about virtue, chastity, purity, marriage, and the home. Divorce accelerated. Marriage came to mean little or nothing for most people in our culture. In 1973, to cover up those sexual sins, our Supreme Court decided that women could exterminate children from the womb. Now, recently, that was overturned, really in response to, it's gotten to the place where people who are for abortion want to legalize it right up to the day of birth. I'll never forget the clip I saw of the governor of New York standing up and applauding, and all of the people in that assembly, when they had passed the law that they could kill a child in the ninth month right up to the day of birth, they actually stood and applauded. That's sad when you devalue life that much. Millions have died because of abortion. The rise of sexual immorality didn't stop in the 60s. It got more deviant, more perverse, more ungodly. And I think all of it was trending toward doing away with the notion of a family and being the bedrock of society. I think we were ripe for judgment as a nation. I think it's one of the reasons why 9/11 happened. All you got to do is study your Bible and you'll find that God did raise up heathen nations and pagans in the past to judge the nation of Israel. He used the Assyrians. He used the Egyptians. He used the Babylonians to judge Israel. But what was 9/11 in reality? It was an attack on the Judeo-Christian way of life. It was an attack on the Bible as the Word of God, Christ as the only way of salvation. And Satan has employed many devices in his attempt to destroy Christianity and its value system. And he has a lot of different ways to do it. Some of it's through false religion. Look at the sway that Romanism held for years and years. The rise of Islam. And both of those systems, if you study them out, they're very much alike. They both believe in a works-based salvation, rejecting, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our education system is broken. I mean, folks, we have educators lobbying to teach little kids, 5, 6, 7 years old, about sexual things. That's just even the most liberal person out there ought to be able to see that's not right to sexualize children. But the Judeo-Christian ethic has been under attack. And Islam has been one of the most effective ways for Satan to diminish the Christian way of life, because Islam is a political ideology and a system that poses as a religion. You realize that? And as such, it's gotten protected status in America, even though Sharia law is inconsistent with a democratic republic. And I remember how much I disagreed with President Bush when he announced, along with a majority of other politicians, say after the attacks, that Islam is a religion of peace. All you got to do is study their history. I mean, from Muhammad up until this present day, there's been a lot of bloodshed in the name of Allah. Islam teaches that Muhammad was the final prophet to reveal God. They teach that his sayings and teachings are more important than any other sacred writings. Islam does not believe in the deity of Christ. They don't believe in his death and resurrection. In fact, they mock it. It is one of their sources of trying to get people to disbelieve. They say, why would God send his son to die on the cross? They don't see it as the ultimate sacrifice to bring about peace and reconciliation. They see it as weakness. They believe in a system of works. Islam allows for the execution of infidels who reject Muhammad and Allah. It is written into their system. And all you have to do is examine the countries where the Islamic religion is dominant. And you know what happens? There's a lot of violence, a lot of oppression. Do you realize you cannot go into Saudi Arabia as a missionary to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Christianity is outlawed in many Muslim nations. They do not have here. America, we have long held the ideal that you can worship after the dictates of your own conscience. That the state cannot force you. I'll tell you what. I think there have been an attack on Christianity and a promotion of Islam in our nation. And I think it's wrong. But you look at all those countries, they have economic instability, the exception being Saudi Arabia. And it's sad to see what's happened. And I'm going to tell you something. You can't fix a country that is dominated by Islamic thinking. You can't do it. Only God, if He changes their hearts, can change their political system and their beliefs. 9/11 was horrific. Islamic terrorists declared war on the United States of America, and it led to what I believe were a series of mistakes and judgment by the United States. In response, we've lost a lot of blood and a lot of money in the Middle East. So, what are some of the consequences of 9/11? People are more fearful, they're less trusting, and that continues to today. I think about the way I grew up. When I was a kid, We'd get our, in the summertime, we'd get whatever chores we had to do. And man, my street, we had just, there were so many kids. It was like we had our own little city on Miami View Drive. There must have been 45 kids, and our houses were all packed together, right? One right next to each other. We'd play all day long. We would ride our bikes all over Loveland. We would go play ball. And our moms and dads just let us do it. Without a moment's thought. Everybody on our street, all the parents, they looked out for one another. Oh, I got spankings from other parents. For doing stupid things. I remember Miss Henderson. I'm not going to tell you why she whipped me, but I deserved it. I can tell you that. That's how I grew up. We went out. We'd come back for lunch. Then we'd go right back out. Come back for supper. And then we'd go out and we'd play kick the can till the street lights started coming on real strong. And then sometimes we would sit on the curb, me and Eric Luckup, when we were like 13 years old, just sitting out there talking. And we'd talk about how we were going to go to the Olympics one day. But that didn't happen. Things have changed so much. People won't let their kids out of their sight. People don't understand how many kids are being trafficked in the sexual business, in the sex trade. People have no understanding in the day and age in which we live. And it's because our nation has rejected God. Even though Islam is a false religion based on a political ideology that's oppressive, I think it's caused a lot of people to question all religion. Have you noticed that? Atheism has grown by leaps and bounds since 9/11. Hardly anybody talks about God anymore. Sadly, our government has grown in size. Our federal government is the largest employer in the world. And they've seized control of a lot of things. And 9/11 opened up the door for intrusion by all the alphabet agencies. The FBI, the CIA, the NSA. And then with the internet, social media, there's a lot of surveillance going on. Almost everything is being listened to, taped, or recorded. In the name of safety. Another consequence, political polarization and racial animus. Critical theory has always been taught by communists in our universities, dating way back to the 30s and 40s. It was one of the elements of trying to infiltrate Marxism into society. And so critical theory was you begin to criticize everything about America. They added a racial component to it, and now you have critical race theory. And it's being taught in a lot of places. And it's caused racial animus. Our country has never been more divided since the Civil War through political polarization. We have more violence than ever before. Our cities today, and many of these cities have a high population of Muslims. But that's not to say they're the only ones. But our cities are overrun with violence, cruelty, stealing, looting. How does this all come? You reject God. You reject His Word. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. In large cities in America, district attorneys are saying, no, we're not going to go with that anymore. You can steal up to $1,000 worth. We won't charge you with anything. And what do you do when you... people do it. Without remorse. Without shame. Violence. Stealing. International chaos. And I believe that it's really just like, I cannot believe that we are sending billions of dollars to Ukraine to protect their borders. And we're letting in millions upon millions of people unchecked. And then putting them on welfare. All of this has accelerated since 9/11. Along with a rapid breakdown of the family unit. This is a sobering message. I don't want you to forget. I don't want to forget what happened on that day. We actually have people in Congress today who are in agreement with what happened in 9/11 for the most part in their ideology. Muslims that are elected to our Congress. You say, well, why do you bring this up? I want us to learn how serious it is when you reject the words of Scripture in favor of what men, their philosophies are. And I pray that God will send a genuine awakening, that people will be saved. People be brought to faith in Christ. That they'll have a desire to walk in His ways, to live for Him. I really believe that churches like ours are the hope for America. Families like ours that believe the Bible, that are training their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that are concerned about their spiritual welfare. That's the hope of America. It's God. It's not Democrats. It's not Republicans. It's not politics. Our hope is God. Our hope is in Christ. May God help us to be much in prayer for the souls of men. Because that's the only way things are going to change for the good, is if people get right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's all stand.
Page 197.